Good to see you in God's house. Amen. Amen. Can you give him a praise this morning? Praise him because he's good. Amen. As we go to the Lord in prayer this morning, I would like for us to remember Randy Gregory. I think that they've just given him like 48 hours to live. He needs a miracle breakthrough. And so let's remember him and ask God to touch him this morning in Jesus' name. Can we do that? Amen. And let's invite the presence of the Lord here today. So, Father, right now we just come before your presence. We know, God, that you're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. So, Lord, we lift up Randy Gregory before you and petition you today, Lord, asking you, God, to touch him and bring healing to his body. We know that you're able. And, Father God, we just pray right now, God, and believe that you will touch him in the name of Jesus, Lord, to get breakthrough. And Father in heaven, we pray today, God, that every person that needs a miracle will receive it in the name of Christ. Oh God, Father, we look to you, how great you are, how marvelous that you are, Lord. Lord, we ask you to have your way in this house today. Father, we pray over our nation, we pray over our leaders, our president, Father God, the Congress, the Senate. We pray for the nation of Israel, the peace of Jerusalem. We pray, Heavenly Father God, for a worldwide awakening of your presence and power. Lord, we just thank you today for all that you've done. God, what you're doing in Jesus' name. Father, stir hearts. Work today, Lord. Let faith come alive. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and give you thanks for it. And everybody said amen and amen and amen and amen. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Come on. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I praise you in the valley. Praise you on the mountain. I'll praise when I'm sure. I'll praise when I'm doubting. Praise when outnumbered, praise when surrounded. Cause praise is the waters my enemies drown in. As long as I'm breathing, I've got a reason to praise the Lord. When I don't, I'll praise cause I know you're still in control. I'm praising a weapon, it's more than a sound. My praise is the shout that brings Jericho down. As long as I'm breathing, I've got a reason to praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise, come on. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, I won't be
'Cause you're sovereign, praise 'cause you reign, praise 'cause you rose and defeated the grave. I'll cause 'cause you're faithful, praise 'cause you're true, praise 'cause there's nobody greater than you. I'll praise 'cause you're sovereign, praise 'cause you reign, praise 'cause you rose and defeated the grave.
Today. Shout out a praise that brings the walls down. Shout out a praise of breakthrough in Jesus' name. Oh, yes, Lord. I give you glory for all you brought me through. And now I'm ready for whatever you want to do. I'm moving forward to follow after you, and now I'm ready for whatever you want to do. Your presence is an open door. We want you, Lord, oh, like every season, your grace has been enough, and I'm believing for the best is yet to come. The cross before me, my hope on things above, and in you, Jesus, for the best is yet to come. Come on.
We want you, Lord, like never before.
Say yes, Lord.
We want you, Lord, like never before. Your presence is an open door. So come now, Lord, like never before. Whoa. You're the one who walked on water, and you calm the raging seas. You command the highest mountains to fall upon their knees. You're the one who welcomes sinners, and you open blinded eyes. You restored the brokenhearted, and you brought the dead to life. Forgetting all our sins, oh, you remember all your promises. You are amazing, more than amazing. Forever than enough. You are amazing. With authority you've spoken, and you set the captive free. Oh, you're the King who came to serve, and you're the God who washed our feet. You're the one who took our burdens, and you bled upon the cross. In your kindness and your mercy, you became the way for us. Forgetting all our sins, you remember all your promises. You are amazing, more than amazing.
Lord.
They say this mountain can't be moved. They say these chains will never break. But they don't know you like we do. There is power in your name. We've heard that there is no way through. We've heard the tide will never change. They haven't seen what you can do. There is power in your name. So much power in your name. Move the immovable, break the unbreakable. God, we believe. God, we believe for it. We'll see a miracle. God, we believe. God, we believe for it. Oh, we believe. We believe. We know that hope is never lost. Still an empty grave. We believe no matter what. There is power in your name. So much power in your name. We trust in you, God. You have the final say. You are the way where there seems to be no way.
I believe if you lift your hands up real high, you can touch an angel this morning. Amen. Come on, give him some praise. Give him praise. Give him praise. Let everything, let everything, let everything, let everything, let everything, let everything that hath breath give praise to the Lord. Oh, we bless you, Jesus. We bless you, Jesus. God of the breakthrough. God of the impossible, you're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, O Lord. How wonderful that you are, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, worship, worship him. He's worthy of all the praise, worthy of all the glory, worthy, 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 worthy. Thank you, Lord. We bless you, Jesus. How wonderful that you are, Lord. How wonderful that you are, Jesus. Oh, Master, we praise you, Master. We praise you, Master. We praise you, Master. Worthy are you, Lamb of God. Worthy are you, Lamb of God. There is no other beside you, Lord. You are God and God alone. Not any man, not any other spirit. You are God. You alone are God. Oh, we magnify you, Lord. We worship you, Jesus. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Oh, Jesus, my Lord. He is the master of everything. Come on. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. Sing it again. Oh, his name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Oh, Jesus, my Lord.
He's master of everything. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. For he's the great shepherd, he's the rock of all ages. Almighty God is he. Oh, bow down before him, love and adore him. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. For his name is wonderful.
Come on.
His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. He is the mighty King. He's master of everything. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
Man, there's a sweet, sweet spirit here. There's a healing anointing flowing right now. Healing power, healing presence. If you need healing today, I'd be claiming that. See, it's not by happenstance or coincidence. God does not just drop in. He comes when you invite him. So right now, just worship and receive it.
Oh, your name is wonderful, Jesus. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. For he is the mighty King. He's master of everything. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. For his name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. For he is the mighty King. He's master of everything. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
Oh, we worship you today, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. How great you are, Lord Jesus. King of all kings, Lord of all lords. None above him. None above him. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. He is the mighty King, master of everything. His name is wonderful,
my Lord. For he's the great shepherd.
He's watching over you.
The rock of all ages, almighty God is he. Oh, bow down before him, love and adore him. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. See, there's some things happening right now that as you lock into him, as you seek his face as the only ultimate one who can meet your need. And I'm telling you today, I feel that dialogue. The hand of God is moving. God is touching. God is healing hearts, binding up wounds. Holy Spirit, have your way today. Have your way today, Lord Jesus. Have your way today, Lord. Have your way today, Lord. Oh, Jesus, we love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. See, there's some deep hurts today God is mending. See, he binds up the broken at heart. Sets at liberty the bruised. The ones that have been hurt so deep inside, they're bleeding. He opens the prison of those that are bound. You haven't had that joy in a long time, but he's saying today, if you'll open up to me, if you'll open up to me, I'll restore the joy of your salvation. I'll restore the joy of your salvation. Peace that passes all understanding. Oh, we worship you, Jesus. Every knee has to bow to you, Jesus. Every tongue confesses to you, Lord. You are Lord. Oh, we worship you. Let's sing it again. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. He is the mighty King. He's master of everything. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 See, the Bible says, who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. I love it. What did he say? The pure in heart shall see God. You know, today, God wants to meet you face to face. He wants to give you an encounter like you've never had before. Life altering. Life changing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Man, there's some stuff melting right now. Oh, yes. Have your way, Jesus. Have your way, Master. Have your way, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Can you give him praise right now? Come on. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen. 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 Hallelujah.
Just several years from three phrases, watch the water.
Right.
I know it's been here. I know other pastors have said it. And it's for today. I mean, and this past week.
Watch the water. He's prophesying.
Amen.
Amen. Right. Amen. Yes, ma'am. Amen. You may go back to your seat. And let's have the ushers to come.
A couple of weeks ago, I told you I was having a problem with gout. And, I mean, Jason just asked me about it a few minutes ago. And a gentleman over there shook my hand, and it hurt this morning when he kind of grabbed me. And then now, I mean, I can hit it, I can bump it, I can do whatever, and it's gone.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. That's the way it's supposed to happen. Amen. Awesome. Awesome. All right. Well, let's turn to James chapter number 5. James chapter 5. Good to see you in God's house this morning. It is good to be here. Amen. Thank you, Lord. James 5. And let's stand for the reading of the word again. Verse number 18. James 5, verse 18. Just one verse. And listen real close to what he says. And he prayed again. And he prayed again. And the heaven gave rain. And the earth brought forth her fruit. Let's read it again. And he prayed again. Talking about Elijah in the Bible. And he prayed again. Remember, he had prayed 6 times for the rain to come. And the Bible said, and he prayed again. And the heaven gave rain. And the earth brought forth her fruit. So, Father, we thank you for your word today, and we ask you to come and touch our hearts. Grant us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. Holy Spirit, cause these words to come alive in people's spirit. Lord, let them take hold of us and build faith. Father, we just thank you right now. We're more than conquerors through you. We can do all things through Christ. Father, you've already paid the price through your Son, Jesus. And we honor you to me, through me, and for me. Cause every word to come forth accurately, boldly as you'd have it to come forth. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said amen. You may be seated this morning. Don't stop now. Everybody say, don't stop now. Don't stop now. I really believe that this is a word, you know, for the hour that we've come this far and we won't stop now. How many feel that way in your heart? Say, man, I've come this far. I've been serving God all these years. I've come this far. I believe God all these years for this, or my family to be saved, or breakthrough, or for a miracle. And you're not going to give up now. Somebody say, I won't give up. I won't give up. I believe that we have entered a new time, a time where the battle has turned. You believe that? I believe it. I believe that fire starters have been released. You know what a fire starter is? That's a person who catches fire in their prayer life, catches on fire for Jesus, and go starts fires everywhere they go. On their job, in the grocery store, at the gas station, with their family. Somebody say amen. Somebody say, I really need a fire in my family. Amen. I believe that a principality has been dislodged in this nation. I truly believe that in the name of the Lord Jesus, that God has heard the prayers of the remnant and has given us a window to birth revival. And I want you to understand that word, to birth revival. Hezekiah talked about Israel. He said the children have come to birth and have not the strength to bring forth. But right now, we've had this breakthrough. Everybody say breakthrough. And I believe that the breakthrough has hit just every area that you can possibly conceive, and that a window has opened. I believe that it is the heart cry of those who in past have experienced God and have experienced revival and moves of God and have seen miracles happening, and they've been crying out to God and praying. I know that those of us who grew up in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s, and we've seen the trend. I know what it felt like, you know, when I was growing up. I felt that liberty. I really felt that freedom. It just felt good. And I wish that every young person could experience that feeling that we felt when we were growing up. But things turned and twisted. Somebody say, yes, they did, as God began to be exposed and removed, you know, from the arena. Things began to shift and change. But with people who won't give up, people who say, I ain't stopping now. I'm not stopping now, and I don't want to be offensive to you if you didn't vote for President Trump. It matters not, because God puts down one, sets up another. That's the bottom line. The fact of the matter is that things have shifted and things have changed, and there is a difference in the atmosphere of the nation in which we live today. Somebody say, thank God. Thank God. And those who know that God can do anything and have prayed for this and have believed for him are not going to give up until they see God as they've seen him in the past. Amen. You know, there's scripture in the Bible that talks about speaking of God, things he's done in the past and things that he's done in the old. And David, he's speaking one of my favorite scriptures. He says, when I remember you and the power of God in the sanctuary, because we hunger for those things. We want God to show up. When you see people in bondage and their marriages are messed up and people are on drugs and alcohol or pornography, you see the nation trending where it's gone to, and you see all the stuff that's happened, then what we want is for God to show up. I love this. In Genesis chapter 1, what did he say? The very first thing that God did, let there be light. And there was light. So we need the Holy Spirit bringing light. Somebody say amen. We need him. You see, those who know that God has given the promise of Joel chapter number 2 and Acts chapter number 2, that he will pour out his spirit in the last day. Eschatos is the Greek word. Pour out his spirit at the very end of days upon this earth. And that word days comes from the word hemera. It means the time between dawn and the time between darkness. So I'm saying right now, God, you brought us into this move of God. The light has been shining now for a long time. You gave us the day of Pentecost. We've seen the mighty moving of your presence and your Holy Spirit. And Father, we believe before the darkness comes and it closes out things, that we're going to see a mighty revival take place and an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So before the closing hour of the day comes and before things shift to that night hour, God is going to open heaven, pour out his spirit upon all flesh, our sons and our daughters. Now, I don't know about you, but that is a great promise. Whether they're in prison, whether they're in a jail, whether they're in a drug house, or whether they're in a ditch somewhere, it doesn't matter what the enemy has done to them. God has given a promise. And so what do? We take the promise from the word and we war with it. We stand on it. We will not deviate from it. We say we will not stop now, because I know my God. I know that he sent his son to die on the cross. The extremeness of that death proves to me that God will go to the greatest degree to save a soul. While most people are saying, to hell with them, they're going to die and go to hell, they're lost, they're never going to change, you know, nothing's ever going to happen with them. I want to tell you, you don't know the God that I serve. Because if God doesn't matter, it doesn't matter if it's going down into the dust of the earth. He's able to pick it up, breathe on it again, and bring it back to life. Somebody say amen. So I've got a promise in the scripture that God said, I will pour out my spirit upon your son, upon your daughter, upon the handmaidens, upon the servants, and over all flesh I will pour out my spirit in the last days, says God. And they shall prophesy. What's God saying? He said, I'm not only going to turn our life around and save them and pick them up out of that ditch and out of that sin, but they're going to be preaching my word. They're going to be telling people about me and my miracle working power. Somebody say amen. So this outpouring that he's speaking about is the result of the greatest revival and the sweeping in of souls into the kingdom of heaven that we have ever seen before. And I've seen some mighty moves of God. I won't take the time to get into that, because I'm more now saying, God, I want it now. I want to see you do this now. I can speak about the past, but I want you to do it now. Somebody say now. This is his promise. This is his promise. The song that we sang this morning, I know breakthrough's coming. By faith, I see a miracle.
God made me a promise, and I won't stop now. You see, that song is rooted in the fact of what happens when one does not stop short of the miracle. Look at your neighbor and say, don't ever stop short. Don't ever stop short. Stopping short of a miracle never brings God glory. Failing to follow through with persistent prayer never brings glory to God. It is only when we use our faith and keep our eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ, our eyes upon the promise, that we receive the miracle that God wants us to have in the scripture. And God gets the glory then. It's just like when Jason this morning, we were talking about this, he said, hey, people are being healed. God's spirit is moving. And he got healed of gout in his hands while we were worshiping the Lord this morning. No more pain. What if we'd stop short? What if we just pulled in the reins and said, well, we're going to stop right here, receive an offering. But we didn't. Somebody say, we won't stop now. We won't stop now. We won't stop now. I know. Say this to me. Say, I know breakthrough's coming. Say, I know breakthrough's coming. By faith, I see a miracle. God made me a promise, and I will not stop now. I won't stop now. James chapter number 1 tells us, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Count it all joy when you fall into the temptation to quit or to give up, or the enemy is telling you to walk away, that there's no use in continuing to stand or try. The reason that we're to count it all joy is because it gives us the opportunity to use our faith. As I've said so many times, you wouldn't know that you have faith until you got to use it. You can tell me, oh, I got faith, I got strong faith. I want to see when you go in the fire and when you come under trial and when the devil is coming against you with everything you got, how you're going to respond. Because your response to that particular place is going to prove whether you have faith or not. Somebody shout this and say, faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. It overcomes the world. See, we never know we have faith until we have to use it. So between the time that we ask for something or petition God for it, our God, for that breakthrough where we believe him, where we believe him, where our faith is put to the test. I'm believing God for a healing. I'm believing God for a miracle. I'm believing God for a turnaround. Believe me, the moment that those words roll off of your lips, you put yourself in a position for the devil to come and see if he can dismantle what you believe. Because God can only be pleased by faith that refuses to back down. God is looking for people that will stand and not bow, that will not give in. Somebody say amen. You see, when faith and God's will meet, power is released. It is called the spirit of faith. Man, there's something about hearing the gospel when it's preached, or read the Bible when you're sitting down to read it. When that word leaps off that page, something happens in your spirit. Your spirit man comes alive. The spirit of faith is born within you when you hear that word. It leaps, especially when you're believing God for healing or a miracle, and then you're reading something and all of a sudden God quickens that to you and your faith comes alive to receive it in Jesus' name. It's called that spirit of faith. It's the Holy Ghost enabled dunamis of God. It is that inherent ability to receive a thing or to do a thing. It's miracle power. Somebody say miracle power. We should be like a breath of fresh air as the children of the street, or when we're in some gas station or at a hospital somewhere. You should be like a breath of fresh air and walk up to them and say, may I pray for you? Why? Because I'm confident in my God that he will touch you. He wants to show you his love and his power. He wants to demonstrate that he, through his son Jesus, paid a great price so that you could be free from that. Somebody say glory to God. In Mark chapter number 9, there's a father of a child that is possessed of the demon spirit that comes to Jesus. And the father of this young man comes and he says, Master, I brought my son unto your disciples, but they couldn't deliver him. He has a dumb spirit. And wherever that this spirit gets a hold of him, whenever it happens, it takes him and it tears him. He foams at the mouth and he gnashes with his teeth and he pines away like a dead man. And I spoke to your disciples, and they could not cast this spirit out. And Jesus answered and said, as he looked at his disciples with disappointment, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I have to put up with your doubts and your unbelief? And then he turns around and he looks at that father and he says, bring him to me. Somebody say, bring him to me. Now, I would concur that probably sometimes the reason that we don't see results is because we want glory for ourselves. Then I concur that there's some times that we're just not prayerful enough or considerate or believe God to the extent that he really wants to use me. But you're his agent of change, my friend. That's what you were born again for, so that as the body of Christ, that wherever that you go, whoever that you meet that's in trouble and pain and hardships, that you can pray for them and be that breath of fresh air in their life. And God says, I saved you for this purpose. This is why you're breathing right now upon the face of this earth. This is why you're alive right now, so that you can be my agent of change. And so many times we stop short of entering into that presence, or entering into the anointing, of entering into that partnership with God where we allow him to take us and use us. And the Bible said that they brought this young man to Jesus. And when that this spirit saw him, the spirit tore him. That means that it violently struck him. Listen. And straightway, he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long ago did this spirit come in him? When did it happen? And he said, when he was a little child. For often it cast him into the fire, and it cast him into the waters to destroy him. Now hear the heart cry of the father. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. And straightway, listen to what the father says. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. The Bible said that Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter no more into him. And when the spirit screamed out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him. And he became as one dead, so that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up like he always does, and he arose. I believe that this scripture speaks of this generation. And when he talks about a deaf spirit, he's talking about a generation that is so dulled and aloof from really hearing God's voice or knowing what God is saying or who God is that they cannot recognize his voice. And then they're also dumb, not able to speak or articulate the things of God because they've never been taught anything about God. They're dead in the spirit. Somebody say they're dead in the spirit. They've never had an experience with the Lord. You see, the devil has torn this generation. He's cast it into the waters of confusion. He's cast it into the fires of lies. Are you listening to me? But they're about to hear the voice of God. I said they're about to hear the voice of the Lord and be delivered from death's grip and set free. So Jesus, he could have listened to the crowd that was around that day when they came and began to accuse the disciples and they couldn't deliver this young man. Jesus could have listened to the crowd, and when they said, it's nothing going to happen, and Jesus said, well, it can't be done. The enemy could have told him, nobody succeeded yet. What makes you think you're going to? How many has ever been there? But Jesus didn't give up or cave in to the doubt or cave in to the opinions of men. This is important. He yielded to the anointing that was in him and cast that demon out in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody. You see, where there's resurrection power, death always has to take a back seat. And that's what Jesus is all about. You see, I believe that this generation right now that's under confusion and darkness and has been attacked by hell, millions of them have been aborted because Satan has done everything in his power to keep the modern day apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers from being birthed into this earth. He doesn't want another Billy Graham. He doesn't want a Dr. T.L. Lowry. He doesn't want an Oral Roberts. He doesn't want a Wesley or a Finney. He doesn't want any Father Nash's prayer warriors. He doesn't want any Watchman Knees or any people like that to be birthed upon the earth. But I've got a word this morning. Devil, you've come too late, because the millions that you murdered have only been blood that has seeded the ground for millions to rise up in the spirit of the living God, because God takes that offering of that blood and he receives it in Jesus' name, and he's breathing out upon a generation right now, resurrecting them from the dead, the ones that the enemy has told, you'll never amount to anything, you'll never have anything, there's no future for you. I'm going to tell you, yes, there is. There is a hope and a future for you, my friend. God has chosen you. He's anointed you. He's ready to touch your life and to use you. And just like this young man, Jesus raised him up and touched his life. Somebody say hallelujah. Amen. What a powerful story. See, this is what happens when you don't stop. When you don't cave in, when you do not give in to the enemy's lies or what you see with a natural eye. In John 20, starting at verse number 27, listen to this. Jesus has been resurrected. He's appearing to the disciples. Doubting Thomas is present. There's always a doubt in Thomas. Thomas doubts if anything. Well, I doubt if a church will be open today. I doubt if we'll have praise and worship. I doubt if anybody wants to show up. I doubt if that preacher will finish on time, and I'm telling you, I won't. I doubt it. And he said to Thomas, who said that he would not believe unless he put his finger in the nail-pierced hand and in the feet and thrust his hand into the side of Jesus. I'm not going to believe that this is Jesus. I'm not having anything to do with it. I'll have to put my finger in the nail scar in his hand. I'll have to put my finger. Can you imagine this rhetoric that's coming out of this man that followed Jesus for 3.5 years? Unless I can put my finger down in that hole in his foot, unless I can take my hand and thrust it in his side, I'm not going to believe it's him. Even though he taught me and told me, said he was going to rise from the dead. Come on now. And so while he's going on with this rant full of unbelief and doubt, Jesus appears and says to Thomas, reach hither your finger. Thomas, put your finger over here. I want you to put your finger in my hand. I want you to take your hand and shove it into my side. And do not be faithless, but believing, because you're the one that said it, bub. And if you said that's what it's going to take for you to believe, start sticking it in my hand, put it in my foot, thrust it in my side, because I am who I said I am, and I'm always going to be your God and your Lord and your Savior, and nothing is going to change. Some people are that extreme. They're full of doubt. They're full of unbelief. But your Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Or that word would be purposefully seek him. See, the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews is called the heroes of faith. Those who chose to believe against all the impossibilities. They saw the power of what believing God's promise could do. So within this 11th chapter, we find the nature, the character, and the will of God. If God will, we can. If we will, he can. God is looking for a seeker. He's looking for someone who will be a surrendered vessel to him. Some of them will simply say, Lord, if you can use anything that I have, it's yours. God, use me if you can. So one who will not settle for anything less than the breakthrough miracle is what Hebrews 11 is all about. A miracle has been defined as a work wrought by divine power for a divine purpose by means beyond the reach of a man. It is something wonderful, as one man wrote, or unusual. It is an event, I would say so. Experience or discovery so singular and strange as to awaken in one the feeling of awe. Then Webster's defines a miracle very clear and concise. An event or effect of the physical world deviating from the known laws of nature or transcending our knowledge of these laws. An extraordinary or abnormal event brought about by superhuman agency. It's when you come to the point in your life that you're so dumbed down, so broken, so helpless, and you've come to the point that you're like doubting Thomas. You're doubting whether Jesus is real and you're doubting whether God is real. You just drag your old carcass up to the presence of God and you let Holy Ghost filled people that know their God get their hands on you and pray over you, and then all of a sudden this stuff breaks off of your life. Because nobody could set you free. You've taken the pills and it didn't help you. You've been to the doctor. The doctors couldn't help you. You've sat and listened to music and nothing happened. And because you're sitting there like Thomas of unbelief, unless I put my finger in the hand, unless I put my finger in the foot, unless I thrust my hand in the side, I'm not going to believe. And so what you need is a divine encounter with the living God that created heaven and earth. And there's something about it when you come into that manifestation that everything changes. You see, I believe that the Spirit of God is telling us it is time for breakthrough miracles. Time for breakthrough miracles. It's time to get our faith stirred up. To stir up your faith by the Word of God and by prayer. Past happenings that we can look at, how God has brought us through. You think how throughout the 66 books of the Bible, we read story after story filled with miracles, breakthroughs, and impossibilities made possible by those who put faith in God. In Daniel 11:32, those who know their God shall be strong and do exploits. In Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. See, the stories in the Bible are meant to grow our faith and stir us to a point to believe God for the miracle. Let's go beyond the natural law, God. I want the man in the wheelchair not to feel better about his amputated leg. I want you to grow one. I want the fellow that has a missing larynx with a hole in his throat to receive a brand new larynx, voice box, and the hole to be closed up. The same God that caused that gout to leave this morning is the same God that can do it. Amen. Come on. Come on. And so the stories in the Bible are meant to push you to that place to believe God. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Faith to not only know that God can, but to know He will. This is the confidence that I have in Him. Do you have confidence in God? This is my confidence, knowing that if I ask anything according to His will, if I ask anything according to His will, He hears me. So that tells me that God doesn't listen to goofy stuff. He wants people that will step up and believe Him. Come on, somebody say, believe. Something about faith pleases God. It moves things. Somebody say, it moves things. When in the Bible, when young David was challenged by Goliath, he immediately went down to the brook. Did you hear me? Challenged by an enemy of God. You're going to go somewhere right here. He went immediately to the brook and he gathered out five smooth stones, the Bible said. Smooth stones meant that the flow of water's current had been going over them for some years to cut away the jagged edges and to cut away all the things to cause them to be used for weapons. I bet those little rocks never knew that when they first were in that little brook, how jagged, seared, broken that they were. And all the years that the smooth water of that brook flowed over them and they were made absolutely smooth, they never dreamed that one day they would be a weapon for God. David goes down to the brook and he carefully chooses them. I can imagine in my mind as David was gathering those stones that he began to remember how that he himself was like one of those stones. Jagged and rough and uneven, broken. Until the flowing water of the Holy Spirit, as he was out on those Judean hillsides worshiping God and playing upon the stringed instruments and worshiping and singing to God. Remembering how God had formed and fashioned him. How that the waters of the Spirit of God had flowed over his life year after year. He slew a lion. He slew a bear. God was turning him into a weapon to face a giant with. And so when he heard Goliath breathing out blasphemies against the army of God and blasphemies against his God and cursing the people of God, fire shot through his bones. I don't know about you, but if I'm sitting down and if I see the news or I hear somebody out in the county, they say something about my God, it's like fire going off in me. I've got a thing called rebuke inside of me, and I've rebuked many down through the years for crossing that line. I know sometimes you just, you know, that you need to just be quiet, but then there's other times that you need to speak up. Come on, somebody. But the reason you want to speak up is because you've got something to demonstrate, and they think that you can't demonstrate it. But I believe that the person who says, bless God, I can demonstrate it because I am a man of prayer. I'm a man of the word. I'm a man of fasting. I'm a man of the spirit. And you're not going to do my God like that. I'm not going to listen to anything like that. I'm telling you what, I don't care how heathenistic you are, how dark you are in your life. You grab my hand and let's pray. You're going to feel something and God's going to touch you. You'll never be able to deny the fact that when I get through praying for you, God has touched you in your life. Somebody say amen. I've seen it many times down through the years. Psalm 44. Blessed be the Lord my strength, which teaches my hands to war and my fingers to fight. That's where I wanted Travis to come up here and play the guitar. See, this is so important. David said, man, I want to tell you something. He said, in my quiet times, when I'm up on that mountain and I'm playing and I'm tearing that lyre up with my fingers and I'm strumming that stringed instrument up there and I'm scaring away the wolves and the bears and the lions and I'm up there shredding this thing and praying and praising my God, and I can see the stars shouting and the sons of God shouting for joy. I can hear my God laughing and enjoying the praise that I'm sending up to him. Man, David is reminiscing these things in Psalm 144 because David knew that God had taught him to war with his hands and fingers. Skillful with a shepherd's crook, skillful with harp and lyre, singing praises to God, skillful with shield and bow and spear. David had learned through worship, prayer, and praise that there was not an enemy that he could not overcome through faith in his God. David went down and chose five smooth stones. Somebody say, for grace. Smooth is the word halog, separated, assigned. Did you hear that? Said it wasn't by happenstance or coincidence that he chose five smooth stones. Those smooth stones were put there by the hand of God himself. I love this. Smooth. Separated, assigned, slippery, because God put that little stone down there and he said, I'm fixing you because one day I got a shepherd boy that's going to come and pick you up, and you got to be real slick because you're going to go right through the head of a giant right in his temple and you're going to slay him. See, the Bible says that rocks can talk. It says if you cease to praise him, the rocks will cry out. And those little stones laying there were saying, Father, I don't know what you got planned for me, but I'm still here waiting on you. Isn't that like us? Aren't we lively stones building up a spiritual house unto the Lord? And we're in the stream of the Holy Ghost, of those waters flowing over us. God is making us ready. And we're talking to the Lord and we're saying, oh, Father, I'm here anytime that you get ready to use me. That's why you've had the pain and the hardships and the troubles and the difficulties in life, so that you could be fashioned and formed by the hand of God. So that when God calls you and puts you on the stage of life, that you won't fail, but you say, no, I'm not going to stop now. I'm at the place of miracle breakthrough, and I know that my God is going to be glorified when I get done. Somebody say amen. Smooth stones, Eben. Slinging stones. So David took his time, picked up the stones, and went and slew Goliath. But see, he chose five, because one for the giant, four more for his four ugly brothers. And if you know anything about Scripture, in Joshua chapter number 13, they were called lords of the Philistines, the giants were. And so you find out in 2 Samuel chapter number 21 that those other brothers got slain. Somebody say amen. Amen. See, David understood that in order to achieve full victory, he would not stop. Amen. What if Israel had stopped? I'm getting ready to close here. I'm a great closer. What if Israel had stopped short of seven times when they were walking around Jericho? What if they just said six times is enough? Six is the number of man. Come on. They would have never seen the walls fall. And that story would not be in the Bible. What if Elijah, when he went up to Mount Carmel to pray, what if he just prayed six times? Because a servant kept coming back. There's nothing. There's nothing. There's nothing. There's nothing. There's nothing. What if he'd have stopped at six? But he told him on the seventh time, go look one more time. He goes and he sees a little bitty cloud about the size of a man's hand. But what if he had stopped? It would have never rained again. See, it wasn't enough that the prophets of Baal had gotten slain. Come on, somebody. The breakthrough was not merely the fire falling on the mountaintop. The breakthrough was not merely those Baal prophets being slain. The breakthrough was in the seventh time, in the seventh prayer of that tiny cloud, so that everybody would know the abundance of the rain had been sent by the hand of God. Come on, somebody. See, Baal was supposed to be controlling the weather, but he found out. No, everybody found out Baal doesn't have the power to make it rain. Baal doesn't have the power to make the sun come out. Baal doesn't have the power to make the crops grow. God alone has that. Come on, somebody. What if Naaman the leper, the Syrian general, when he had leprosy and was dying, what if he'd have just been the person that went and dipped six times? Remember, he was so stubborn and angry because down in that old muddy Jordan River, Elisha said, go dip seven times. And he said, what do you mean? He said, aren't Varfar and these other rivers greater than this river? Why do you want me to go dip in that old muddy thing for? And the servant said, look, if he told you to do it, look at yourself. Man, you're dying. Why don't you just try it? You'll like it. What if he'd have stopped at number six out of his stubbornness? Because when he dipped and he dipped and he dipped and he dipped and he came up on that sixth time, he still had leprosy. But on the seventh time down when he came up, according to the word of the prophet, come on somebody, he was healed, come on. But what if he'd have stopped on six? Somebody say, don't stop now. Don't stop now. See, it would have been incomplete, but the number seven is perfection and completeness. Hebrews 12 tells us that it was for the joy that was set before Jesus that he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the Father. Through the eyes of faith, Jesus could see the miracle of salvation being fulfilled. Listen to me. He knew the cross was not the end. He knew a resurrection was coming. He knew that he would ascend and be seated at the right hand of his Father. Somebody say he knew it. He knew the Holy Spirit would be poured out. And so I'm here to tell you this morning that I know breakthrough's coming. I know breakthrough's coming. I said, I know breakthrough's coming. I prophesy breakthrough's coming. I prophesy that to you today. Breakthrough is coming. By faith, I see a miracle, and I will not stop now. I'll not stop praying. I'll not stop fasting. I'll not stop speaking the word, because I know that now my miracle is nearer than when I first spoke it or first seen it in Jesus' name. My God made me a promise, and I won't stop now. Blind Bartimaeus didn't stop. The woman with the issue of blood didn't stop. Come on. Jairus didn't stop in the Bible. The lepers didn't stop in the Bible. Come on, somebody, talk to me. See, when a spirit-inspired faith rests on declarations such as, I know that thou canst do anything, because with God all things are possible. Wow. See, R.F. Rollins, the missionary, and I'm closing. I am closing his time. Missionary to South Africa. For many years, he had preached and sown seed and prayed and agonized before God and only had a few converts. And so he was on in years, and you know, he was getting ready to just step off the scene, so to speak. And so he prayed, and he just felt stirred inside. He said, I've spent all these years, and God, I know you want to do something. And so he rose up in his spirit. He went and rented the largest auditorium that they had. And he made flyers. And he got his team together and began to pray. That night, 15 minutes before the service, in that big arena that seated several thousand people, only just a handful of people were present. He said he just turned and went behind the curtain, went in the back. He said he spent the next 10 to 12 minutes in prayer. He said he went and prayed and cried out to God. When he came, he said he stepped back. He said he went into that auditorium. He said it was packed from the top to the bottom. Somebody say, don't stop now. Don't stop now. He preached that night, and as he preached, the Holy Spirit anointed him. And he said when they gave the altar call, he said thousands came to Jesus Christ. He said more souls were born on that night than all the years of ministry that he had had previously. You know why? Because he said, I'm not stopping now. I don't care what it looks like, what I've heard, what the devil's told me. I don't care what I've been through. I don't care what kind of fool I got to look like. I believe that the God that I serve is going to answer my prayer, and I believe he's going to break through for me, and I am going to have a harvest of souls in the name of Jesus Christ. Step up on your foot this morning, your feet, and give some praise to God in the house. Come on, praise him. Hallelujah. Don't stop now. Don't stop now. Hallelujah. Lord, I give you glory for all you've done for me. We can't stop. Somebody say, I can't stop. You might be one word away from breaking the back of the enemy. You may be one prayer away from seeing that son or daughter come to the altar. You may be one prayer away for financial breakthrough. You may be one prayer away for a physical miracle in your body. Do you understand now? You may be one prayer away. Don't stop now. Whatever you do, don't stop. I'm reminded of my mother when I was lost and in sin. She went to a prayer meeting with a bunch of other ladies and the old grandmas, and they were all praying in the Holy Ghost, and they prayed. She said she went down and she was praying for me, wanting me to be born again. She stayed out for 4 hours. She said during that 4 hours, she said, God visited me. You know why he visited her? Because she refused to leave the altar. She refused to let me go. She refused to turn and walk away in what she knew that her God could do. She'd heard enough of the scorn of the enemy telling her that I'd never get born again. But God comes to her and he says, I'm going to save your son. I'm going to change his life. I'm going to call him to preach the gospel. And you know what? Mama's in heaven this morning and she can see down here. She's got a big smile on her face. You know why? Because she said, I'm not stopping now. I'm not going to stop now. And see, you never know where your breakthrough is, your breakthrough point. That's why it's so important. Just like Jason getting healed this morning. I told you. See, we come in church and we think church is just a place that we come and I've got to get out of here at a certain time. My chicken's in the pot. I got to go to the restaurant. There's a big crowd going to be there. If I don't get in there, I don't know what's happened. So I'm going to tell you something. God's program works a lot different from that. God says, go on home. Anybody else that wants to stay around, we'll do business together. And I guarantee you that I'm going to give you the breakthrough that you want in your life. Things are going to change for you. You got to be willing to go the extra mile. You got to be willing to stay. I'm not stopping now. I've heard people say, you know, when they come to the altar, well, I've done that before. I prayed, it's never worked. I said, no, you hadn't prayed. You're not desperate enough. Because when you get desperate enough, you won't stop. Oh, come on. I said, you won't stop. I've never fasted over a day. I can't fast. Oh, if you get desperate enough, you will. I said, oh, yes, you will. You will. You can't stop. So who do you know that's broken and messed up and hurting and bleeding? And maybe it's you that needs the miracle. Maybe it's you that has something going on in your physical body that you need to change. Maybe you need that breakthrough. Maybe you're the one that's standing in the place that says, God, if something doesn't happen, I don't know what I'm going to do. And you're saying, I'm not quitting. I'm not going to stop. Don't stop now. You can't stop. You can't stop. What do you want to see? What do you want to see? And like we said, what is it that you want to see God do? What is it? And so this morning, I don't know what your miracle is that you need, but I'm here. God is a God of miracles. He's a God of breakthrough. He's a God of healing. He's a God of mercy. Whatever you need today, I can guarantee you this. If you come and you mean business with God, you will get it. I said, you will get it. I said, you will get it. Why? Because God gave me this word to preach this morning, and I know God will honor his word. I said, I know he'll honor his word. It's not the man. It's the Holy Ghost. It's his word. God wants to do it. He wants to do it. And so this morning, see, that's a good, right there's a good clue, man. Move in Jesus' name. So what do you want this morning? I challenge you to come and get it. Say, God, I need my miracle. I'm not stopping till I get it. God, I need this. Lord, touch my family, touch my wife, touch my kids, touch my neighbor, touch, Lord God, touch my life. Jesus, I need breakthrough. I need breakthrough. If things don't change, what am I going to be like in 5 years or 10 years down the road? I need you, God. I need you. I don't want to be a statistic in society. I want to be red hot for the kingdom of heaven. I want to be full and overflowing with the Holy Ghost and fire. I need your touch upon my life, Jesus. I need you to change today. Am I going to keep talking about something I'm going to do for Jesus in 10 years down the road, or am I going to step into the river right now? Are you a smooth stone? Are you one of those stones that God is looking for this morning? I'm telling you, it's time. It's time. It's time. It's time. It's time. It's time. I'm not backing down. I'm not stopping now. I'm not backing away. This is my time for miracles. This is my opportunity. Somebody say, it's my time. It's my time. Say, it's my time. I'm not stopping now.